Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations, produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public Schools radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP, with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, or streaming online from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland Radio Project.
What's up? This is Redding for the PRP segment. I'm here with
Owen
and Kayvon.
We're going to be talking a little bit about the Super Bowl that's coming up Sunday. That will be Chiefs versus the Eagles. Not what most people were looking forward to, I would say, but it's still going to be a good game. So we'll start with you, Ellen. What are your thoughts, and who do you have winning?
Well, I'm surprised that the Eagles, you know, made it to the Super Bowl. I thought their team was not doing the best this year, but, you know, good for them. But for my predictions, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs got it. Purely off the fact that I think that the Eagles made it here just by luck. And the Chiefs have actually shown to have some very good playmaking abilities. And, you know, they're just a great team all in all.
Kayvon, what about you?
You know, Jalen Hurts, he's a great QB, I think. But, you know, when you're facing off against Patrick Mahomes, I don't think you can bet against Patrick Mahomes. You know, he's been that guy, you know. He led his team on a sprained ankle, still was able to, you know, drop back and throw dimes. So that just shows that he's him. So I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, before I make my prediction, these playoffs have been very weird with the refs. And,
yeah, definitely.
People like to say Vegas and the gambling odds. What have you seen so far, Kayvon, which you think has been weird from the past years about just some of the calls that have been made, or almost like people think favorited or even scripted? What do you think?
You know, it seems like the refs are a little inconsistent when it comes to their calls. Like, some games they're calling stuff, another game they're not calling stuff. It's just very weird, especially, like, the reffing the passer calls. Like, What is reffing the passer, really?
Yeah, 100%.
And I think they need to figure that out, find some common ground. And, like, all the memes on Twitter about it being scripted are just hilarious.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about you, Owen?
Yeah, I have to agree. It's been very inconsistent, but, you know, the memes are funny, so.
Yeah, no, 100%. Just going back off of what Kayvon said, I agree. The calls in some games can be very one-sided, and then other games they won't even make that call, like a holding or, like, even the when the shot clock expires or whatever they call it in football. You know, it's been a weird playoffs, watching my Niners lose to the Eagles in a very weird game, watching the Eagles smack pretty much every team on their way to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. That's my choice. I think Jalen Hurts is a good player. I think their coach has been coaching pretty well. So that's my thoughts. Anything else you guys have to add?
Hopefully my Packers can make some moves to, you know, make it into the playoffs next year.
You know, the Bengals definitely have it next year, you know. They've missed each opportunity.
All right.
Come on.
Owen, coming in with some hot takes. I don't even know what could happen next year, so I won't go that far. There's going to be a lot of off-season things happening. So this is Redding, Kayvon, and Owen for the PRP. Thank you guys for listening.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
Hey guys, it's Aviana
and
Aaliyah on AM 1450 KBPS, and we heard...
It's the first time in Benson High School history the girls' bowling team is going to state.
And we're here with...
Fran.
And Jasmine.
And we wanted you guys to tell us about the big bowling news.
We competed in the PIL district tournament on Sunday, and we made it to the finals, beating out Lake Ridge, I think. And then we were one of the four schools that made it to finals.
Dang.
And then after we got to finals, we were just a few points behind Lake Oswego, so we could have made it, but we got fourth place, and that's how we got to go to have a chance to go to state.
That's so exciting.
How do you feel about going to state?
I'm really nervous because I didn't bowl too well in the tournament, but I'm improving my hook shot, so I think we might have a chance.
Kind of nervous. I didn't think we would make it, to be honest. And I'm practicing to get a lot of more spares than I did in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so how are you guys preparing to get ready for?
So we've started practicing on Tuesdays and Thursdays instead of just Thursdays. And I think that's really helping because I noticed a lot of me and my teammates were getting more strikes and improving.
I agree. We were making more strikes, we're getting more spares, and not a lot of gutter bowls.
What was it like bowling in the district tournament?
It started at 8, so I was pretty sleepy.
A.M.?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it went until like 4.
Dang.
It was really fun. I liked hearing the other teams' chants and stuff. There were some fun like chants for spares and stuff like that that we'll probably be stealing.
Yeah, and it was very loud.
It was really loud. My voice was like shot for the rest of the day.
My voice is still shot.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Come down to Medford.
Far.
Yeah, February 25th to 26th at Lava Lanes Bowling Alley to see us compete.
That's if you want.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
Again, it's Aviana
and Aaliyah
from AM 1450 KBPS on PRP.
Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. This is Jay checking in for PRP this week. And for my song of the week, it is Spin About You by Drake on his new album, his collabed album with 21 Savage called Her Loss. It is the sixth song on the album. It is called Spin About You. I love this song. I feel like it's the perfect song for when you're waking up, when you go to the gym, when you're cooking, anything like that. It has definitely been a repeat on my playlist. I think it was like the top three song of the album. It's been trending on TikTok. It's been trending on Instagram. Everybody just loves this song. Check it out.
Whoa. I got feelings for you. Hope you ain't loving the crew. How many bodies you got? Pray it ain't more than a few. Know that you dealt with some lames when you was young and in school. She got a new G-Wag. She wanna hit highlight room and show it off. Got a new body, girl, show it off. It's a Brazilian, I know it's all. Toned up and she got a six-pack. Look like she used to play volleyball. American Express, you can have it all. Cold to the safe, you can have it all. Your main page, what's your finster? I wanna know the real you. You started dancing to pay your tuition, girl. I wanna know what you been through. You want a boutique or you wanna sell hair? Just let me know what you into. If you out in public and he want your number, just tell him I spin you.
The way you make me feel these days. Something getting dry for your baby girl. Smoking tar for your baby girl. Burn some.
somebody block for your doorway. You make me feel these days. Coming out my body for your baby girl. Wipe them like a snotty for your baby girl. Coming out my body for you. Damn, just turned on the news and seen that man who never got in school and making laws about what women could do. I gotta protect you. I'm a made man, tied in all the way, baby, so I gotta respect you. Put hands on you in the past, insecure because your body is pressure. Four words when I think about them is crusty, musty, dusty, rusty. Eight words when I think about us is disrespect, yeah, I smack them. The text that you say in the captions, the videos we got ever leaked, we going viral or going platinum. Don't worry about your friend's story when I had her alone. She gon' try and put some extras on to take you out of your zone. You know how it goes when they can't get a reservation up in Carbone. They gon' tell you it's a chill night, tell you how they rather stay home. Yeah. Jealous. Yeah. And I know what I said about being involved, but just like that R&B group from the 90s, girl, one call, I'll get you involved. One call, you in runway shows. One call, I'm sitting front row. One wrong call from your ex saying done to get him sent home. One call and my 10 toes down to go wherever I say go. Even if we gotta travel across the globe, down and take it to the end of the road. For real.
The way you make me feel these days. Something getting dry for your baby girl. Smoking tar for your baby girl. Burn somebody block for your doorway. You make me feel these days. Coming out my body for your baby girl. Wipe them like a snotty for your baby girl. Coming out my body for you.
Hello, AM1450 listeners on PRP. I'm James with Josiah, and we're going to be talking about a serious issue about homelessness in America.
It's been a pretty serious issue overall in America, and especially in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, especially where I and James both live. For example, one thing that's kind of keeping people on the streets a little bit is a criminal record with drugs that can definitely keep people on the street. And actually, the criminal record disallows people from getting jobs. And that in and of itself can be a pretty horrible thing for a long time, because no job means that your family probably won't talk to you because of drug abuse. And then after a while, it just spirals until eventually you're back on the streets, not making enough money, and you end up just doing drugs again so that way you can feel happy.
Honestly, another big problem is, well, our government building anti-homeless structures. Like, they're already suffering enough. Why are we building stuff like this? We're just making people who already suffer more.
Yeah, didn't people start putting, like, a bunch of spikes underneath bridges so that way people couldn't sleep under them?
Yeah, they also started putting that bar in the, you know, in between benches to prevent homeless people from sleeping on them.
Yeah, which is even worse. And then I'm not sure if this is a thing that happened already, but I know that there were more laws put in to restrict homeless camps. I think it went from a 48-hour ban to being a 24-hour ban, where homeless camps can only be up for 24. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, yeah, I heard you talking about it earlier today, and that's still kind of like bullcrap. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I think it's pretty upsetting in general. I think a big area of homelessness comes from, definitely, I already said this, but drug abuse and the criminal record behind it. And the worst part is that if you have a criminal record, again, already said, you can't really get with your family because criminal background. And you can't get a job, which doesn't allow you to have purpose. And so you just end up on the streets, crying, depressed, and back on drugs. And my family actually at one point got pretty close to that, where nobody was suffering from drug abuse, but my family was definitely a bit poorer than most. And for about 8 years, I had to survive off of food stamps. And it's just, it's very sad to see what our amazing nation and country has come down to.
Yeah, but it's not that with a criminal record you can't get a job, it's just that they're a lot less likely to hire you.
Oh yeah, it's bad. It's so bad. There are some jobs, though, which are very hopeful, where you can, like, I know that they're usually started by people who were in jail, but some companies will hire you some companies will hire you even if you have a criminal background and even if you've been to jail, and they usually try and, like, re-educate you, or not, like, in a bad way, but in a good way, in, like, a very accepting environment, and introduce you to a more bright side of life.
So you mean actual rehabilitation rather than the prison system's quote-unquote rehabilitation?
Yeah, and I know... Oh, here's another thing, also tied a little bit into homelessness, is that there are programs you can get into where they stop you, like they give you jobs, they give you therapy, they give you like a medicine you can take in case you're going through serious medical issues. And I forget what these companies are called, but I know that they help people who are struggling. My parents got into a few of those programs, and the problem with them is that they go only so far. So you'll make a certain amount of money, and then they'll say, you're making too much money. All of a sudden, you lose any help you're getting with your mental health, any medicine you're getting to help you, again, with your mental health. And three, it also stops you from getting any better jobs or getting therapy, anything that can actually help you. And it just destroys you. And so you'll be ending up going into the cycle of getting into these programs, getting help, and then all of a sudden dropping out of these programs because you're making too much money, going in, getting out, going in and getting out. But some people, very few, end up getting past the bar where they're making too much money, and they start, or quote-unquote too much money, and they start making actually enough money to survive and buy a house, and then they get into, like, the middle class, the, like, working class society, where they can actually survive.
Another problem is, I'm pretty sure not many people know about this, because I only found out when you brought it up another time, and this kind of the conversation is, well, how would most people know about this? Not many people know about it.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it at first, actually. I had to literally, the school had us do a project on serious problems in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. And so I did a project on how mental health, drugs, and police affect homelessness. And I can't go into a lot of that here because it was pretty screwed up. But I can go into a little bit of it, which is what I've just been talking about. But I would never have known if I hadn't had done that project. And it was only supposed to be for Portland, Oregon, but there's so much to go into. It is absolutely near impossible to go into that stuff. So I ended up just looking into all of the stuff outside of Portland, Oregon as well. Like, I found out about a guy who police showed up on a scene 30 seconds, right? This guy walks out of his tent, he's not doing anything, and then the police shoot him. They didn't even try and calm him down, and they said that he was approaching them with a 13-inch blade, which a lot of people, bystanders, people who saw the event, said it was false. And even the guy, he had a friend who he'd taken in who also was homeless and was struggling, and he gave him a tent and, like, a place to live. And then that guy ended up having to sleep in his friend's tent, the one that just died, for the rest of the night, knowing that his dead body was just outside.
I do know that there was a homeless man who got a tiny house from people, and it was, like, the best gift he ever received, and cops just took it away. I don't know if he got it back, but I do know that they did.
Yeah, it's a big problem in America. Luckily, Benson is a great school for sort of dealing with that kind of stuff. What some areas of manufacturing do here at Benson. I think you can start it in junior year, and it ends up being a project that like continues through the whole year. You can work on engineering an actual house that somebody can live in. Usually it goes to people at the school who have less money than normal. But a lot of the time it can end up going to somebody who is homeless and like deprived of any real human interaction on the street, which is also another thing. People on the street are like, it's very sad to know that people don't treat them like humans. Like, they're another person. People are people, right? And if we can't treat people like actual human beings, then we've truly lost all humanity.
Yeah, like, certain business owners will dump cold water on homeless people here in Portland and expect to be treated like the hero after recording it and posting it online.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's gross, and I don't even know. I can't put it into words. But it's huge. It's a huge problem. It's not only in Portland either. It's a huge problem in all of America. It's terrible.
But the worst thing is that most of the time, they won't even be able to get houses because of how expensive housing is here in Oregon.
Oh, yeah. And it's not only here in Oregon either as well. Again, that's what I was saying earlier. This whole thing is so huge. It literally cannot only be in Oregon. It is everywhere, right? So we have problems all across America where housing is way, way, way too expensive, and the amount of money people are getting is way, way too low. And we've gone past the days of like the 60s and maybe a little bit in the 80s where minimum wage was like all you needed. And now minimum wage isn't even a life wage. There are so many arguments that people go into where they're like, people should be making as much as doctors because that's, I don't even remember. It was something stupid, like doctors are the only people right now who have like a living wage. And it's so sad.
Like, at the Shake Shack in Seattle, you will be making $21.50 an hour, and you still can't afford to live there. Like, this isn't even a joke.
It's bad.
And it's not even as expensive as it is here in Portland, and you will probably not find wages as good as that here in Portland.
Yeah. Well, I know that this is kind of a sad note to end it on, but thanks for inviting me on and having me be here with everyone to make this whole, like, basically an announcement.
Yeah, we need to do something, people. Like, everybody needs to pitch in. We can get the government to do something about this. If we talk about this and we and the people as a collective, we can make real change.
Yeah.
This has been James and Josiah on AM 1450 KBPS on Portland Radio Project. Thank you for listening, people.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. Joe Anderson here, the host of KBPS on PRP. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm going to play us a few songs on the theme of love, seeing as Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Starting us off, it's the Beatles, Love Me Do.
Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please, love me do.
The Beatles, Love Me Do. Joe Anderson here, the host of KBPS on PRP. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm playing a few songs around the theme of love, seeing as Valentine's Day is just a few days away. Next up, it's Beyoncé, Crazy in Love. Yes. Beyonce with Crazy in Love. Joe Anderson here, the host of KBPS on PRP. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm playing us a few songs around the theme of love, seeing as Valentine's Day is just a few days away. Finishing us off, 3 for 3, it's Elvis Presley, who just can't help falling in love.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling?
river flows surely to the sea. Darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love with you. Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love with you, for I can't help falling in love with you.
Hey guys, it's Charity from KBPS, and usually I'm with my partner Kimora, but she's not here, unfortunately. So we're going to be talking about my, if you don't know, I am a basketball player. I play for Benson girls basketball team. And we have a huge game coming up on Tuesday versus Jeff. I guess I'll just be speaking about how excited I am. Jeff is always a rival for us because we both teams are just competitive teams towards each other. Half of us know each other from playing little. So it's like really good competition, you know. Me and my teammates have been practicing real hard for this moment. We cannot wait. It's going to be a real good game. So if you want to come Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Jefferson High School. If you're not there, be square. But yeah, this PRP is kind of boring, not going to lie. I don't really have nothing to talk about, honestly. So, sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm trying my hardest, though. But yeah, I'm going to just wrap it up here. This is Charity from KBPS signing off, and have a great day.
From KBPS. The Protomen are a rock band from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and December 19th, their latest single dropped 7 years after the last release. Beginning in 2003, they have released 2 original albums, 2 cover albums, including an exclusively Queen live show, and a live recording. The main story of the albums is loosely based on the first 6 Mega Man games, reimagining it as a dark dystopian tale. This is The Fight by The Protomen. I'm That was The Fight by the Protomen, and thank you for listening to KBPS on PRP.
Hello, this is Colby with the KBPS 1450 team. I'm here with Josiah.
Hi, I'm here.
So, Josiah, I'm just curious, what about history do you love?
There are a lot of things to love about history. I think that there have been a lot of... Really, what's happened in history is a big thing. It depends on what century, really, but there's been a lot of very, very interesting things that have happened.
What are some of your favorite stories?
The Siege of Vienna is by far my favorite, because that was a situation where the Ottoman Empire raided the capital of where it was like Austria, which is Vienna. And there were only 14,000 men at Vienna, but there were 170,000 of the Ottoman Empire's troops, cannons and all, coming to attack. And they had to defend.
Do you have a favorite, like, century for history?
A favorite century? Oh, that's a hard one. Ooh. Personally, I really like, Celtic history. So before, way before Common Era. So like 2500 BCE.
And why do you like that century so much?
Because the Celts existed in it, and they are the origin to a lot of things. They created the alchemy, or the alchemical symbols that we use today. They use they invented Celtic artwork, which is just fantastic. And they had a really interesting relationship with nature, where they believed that they could be on the same level with nature as they were with their like astral body, which was basically your soul. So it's definitely really weird. And then there were also it's interesting because the Romans had to organize all of the different tribes that were like Celtic or Germanic into one word. So they called them barbarian. So we have the Celts, the Gauls, the Germanic tribes, the Picts of Scotland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they all had their own different things. Like the Germanic tribe started off in Norway and went down into Germany, and that's where they get their name.
Do you have any like favorite stories or events that happened in like the Celtic era, century?
There was the sack of Rome. I haven't done all. I did more research personally on actually like the more literal people, not actually what they did. I did find out that they made chainmail and that they also brought soap to Europe, and probably pancakes, honestly, because they made pancakes. But also I found out that they weren't as like barbarous as we think of them, which is, you know, we think of them today as barbarians, and interesting thing, the Viking helmet that we recognize, the one with the horns, that is actually a Celtic helmet, which would be used by the Germanic tribes. So not actually Viking related at all. The question was, what did they do? I went off track. I don't have any serious stories, but I did find out that they were a lot more hospitalic than we think. Usually with a Celtic tribe, they would invite people in if they found them lost. And then before even asking their name, they would sit them down in a house, give them warmth, give them food, and give them water before even asking who they were.
Now, is it true that a lot of the stereotypes we hear about Vikings and their culture in general is really just made up more for media and isn't really that true?
Yeah, 100%. I already said this, but we even changed their helmets to have a different appearance so that way they seem more crazy. Also, a lot of depictions from back in the day depicted them as like demons or demon people because of how they believed that if they died in honor, which was basically just dying while fighting as hard as you could, that they would go to Valhalla. So they did not fear death, which was by far one of the more interesting things. That's why they would fight, like, quote-unquote demons, as the English said. But if you want to know actual information about the Vikings and the stuff that they did, the Poe's Edda. That's, like, the literal best place to find anything for them. Because that was written by Snorri Sturluson, and he... I don't remember how he died. I think he was executed by a king. But a lot of the depictions we get today of the Vikings were created through stereotypes that the English made.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, what's the difference between Valhalla and then just the regular afterlife?
Like heaven?
Yeah.
So Valhalla in the Vikings was that when you die, you end up in like a courtyard outside of Odin's Great Hall, which has over 150 doors, all fit for tens of thousands of men. And every day, a boar, like one of the gods' boars, dies, and it creates a meal for every single soldier who died. And so they all get to eat and drink mead and chill with their friends who also died. And then they end up every day being able to go out into the courtyard and test their fighting skills and better each other by fighting one another until every night they go in and eat. Every morning they wake up and fight. And that was like their whole culture.
Now, is it true that during like Ragnarok, they come back from the dead to fight for Odin?
Yeah, the Einar Jarl. They come back to fight for Odin. They're all those soldiers who went to Valhalla and died. And along with that, the other people who come to fight are fighting against Odin and for Hel. Fun fact, ruler of Hel is Hel, which is Loki's daughter. Apparently they ride in on a boat made of toenails and fingernails. And then they come in and fight against the Einar Jarl and against the gods.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, the Valkyries, aren't they also Einar Jarl?
Valkyries are the angels who are sent down from Odin to collect the fallen warriors and bring them to Valhalla if they deem them good enough.
So it's more of your skill-based rather than just simply fighting.
Yeah, like if you're skilled enough, or it's also whoever died valiantly. So people who died to the enemy's blade and who felled somebody in combat at least once, or just really, I have a lot of blanks, but still, you get the idea. If you died in what they considered honorable, then you died correctly and you could go to Valhalla.
Do you have to die to become a Valkyrie, or can you just become a Valkyrie?
I cannot remember how the Valkyrie were made. I don't think that people become Valkyries unless it's like what's the word? I'm blanking on the word for a female warrior, but it was like maiden or something.
Okay, so I mean that definitely seems cool. Norse mythology is actually something I've always been very, very interested in.
There are a lot of really, really weird stories. Like,
I mean, with mythology as a whole, there's always going to be weird stories. I mean, if you just look at the stories of Greek mythology as a whole, they're all very weird and very just kind of disgusting at times.
Yeah, I feel like with Greek mythology, they were just trying to like scare people with the gods and the beliefs and everything. But then with Norse mythology, they just kind of tried to make them sound hilarious. Like there's a story where Thor's hammer gets stolen by a troll, and then he has to dress up as Freya and then get fake married to the troll to get his hammer back, and he keeps on failing at acting like what they considered a woman. The first thing that he does is they have to sit down to eat, and he like his stomach growls so much that the guy is questioning whether or not he's a woman. And so Loki has to cover for him every time, so he keeps on dragging the troll guy into another room and being like, hey man, he hungers so much for your love. That's why they're so hungry. And he's devouring this entire table of food, but you gotta understand, it's because she loves you so much. And like, just trying to show like, it's out of love. It's not because they're a guy.
I mean, that's the thing I've always kind of loved about Norse mythology, is that it feels a lot just kind of better than a lot of the other ones. Like, for example, Greek mythology is basically like our gods hate us.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing we can do about it besides kind of hope that they show a little bit of pity towards us.
Yeah. Well, in Norse mythology, it's a bit different. They would sacrifice a lot for their gods so that way they could get like good fortune.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've heard this. This was actually shown in the movie 13th Warrior, which is a really good movie.
Never heard of it.
Watch it. It's really good. Except for the armor. The armor's not very accurate. But then again, that was like the armor they thought they had at the time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There was no... we didn't have all of the Posetta.
Of course.
Yeah. But one thing they show is that before going on a voyage, they would pass around a bowl of water and each person would like spit, sneeze, and like basically just put everything into it. And then they would wash their face and hair. And it was gross, but it strengthened their immune system and made it harder for them to die to disease, which did not come in handy when they invaded France.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I've always kind of loved about history as a whole is just kind of how disgusting everybody was and everyone just kind of like okay with it. Like Diogenes. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or much of his stories.
I've heard the name.
But, well, one of my favorite stories of his was, I believe it was a wealthy Athen called him a dog and threw a bone on to him. And Diogenes' response was peeing on his leg. And when the Athen, you know, got upset, Diogenes said, "Well, why are you mad? Would you not expect the dog to act like this?"
Wow, what a way to call him out.
Or I believe it was Alexander the Great, heard of Diogenes, wanted to visit him. So he finally found him. He was laying in the sun. And when Alexander the Great walked up to him and said, "I will offer you anything you want in this world." And all he asked was, "Could you step out of the way? You're blocking the sunlight."
Yeah,
to Alexander the Great.
He literally, didn't he kill his cousin to get into power too?
I'm not sure. But my favorite thing about that interaction between Alexander the Great and Diogenes was Alexander the Great said that if he was not Alexander the Great, he would want to be Diogenes.
Yes, because that guy was so crazy. He was homeless, but he had the same mental, like philosophical standpoints of any great philosopher for the time.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of his work, he didn't write down or do too much about when it came to his works, but stuff that like wrote about or things that he even wrote down was actually destroyed.
There was also a guy he came to during one of his lessons. He was like a philosopher. I forget the name. I'm blanking on the name so hard, but you know who it is.
I believe I do. Is it Plato?
Yeah, that's what I keep. That's what my yes. mind keeps going to.
It was probably Plato because. Diogenes had quite a lot of interactions with Plato,
basically
calling him an idiot every chance he got.
Didn't Plato also make the simplest? He tried to explain humans under the simplest context.
Yes, he said that a human, or I believe the exact term,
featherless biped.
A man is a featherless biped, in which later on, when Plato was having a speech, I believe.
A lecture.
He was doing a lecture.
A lesson.
Diogenes burst into the hall with a chicken with no feathers and said, "Behold a man."
But yeah, behold Plato's man.
Yeah, and one of my, I don't remember exactly because it's been quite a while since I've heard this story, but Plato was talking about the space in between objects. And Diogenes basically said, "Okay, so like your brain, like just saying, call him an absolute idiot."
Yeah.
Like every chance Diogenes got, he would bully Plato.
That reminds me, if you're unaware, Julius Caesar, I mean, all of the Romans were around during the time of the Celts because the Celts are still going on. But when Julius Caesar was in power, one of the things that he was very, very afraid of were druids, because druids were literate, but they did not write. And they were often in many a profession. So they would be not only philosophers, but doctors, vets, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they had to claim a lot of jobs in order to fill that role, including a person who would like study the stars and the planets.
Oh, astrologer.
Yeah. And so one of the things Julius Caesar was most afraid of was them, because if there was a war going on between two tribes, two like Celtic tribes, you could have a Germanic and a French tribe, so like the Gauls versus the actual Germanic tribes. And let's say one eats cheese on birthdays, one eats cake. They'll go to war over that because they don't speak the same language and they don't have the same traditions. If a single druid were to step in the middle, he could literally just say, stop, it's over, we're done. And that would be the end.
Speaking of astrology, that actually reminds me of a story I heard. When Christopher Columbus first arrived in, I believe it was Christopher Columbus. When he first arrived in what is now America, he basically tried to convince the natives to give him basically all of their food. Because, you know, they were starving, they were hungry, all that. Well, they were like, no, we can't. We don't have enough to spare. So Christopher Columbus said, because he knew astrology, everyone knew in Europe, or Spain he said, if you don't give me all of your food within the next week, God will make the sky turn red, and we'll actually have almost an eclipse was coming up.
Yeah.
But a week from that day, the sky turned red, and all of the natives rushed to give them whatever they had in hopes that his god could stop this.
Yeah, because it was a lunar eclipse.
Yes. That's what I find very interesting about history is how so many people were able to abuse their power while others who were just as equally intelligent used it for the greater good, like Socrates. He would walk up to random people and just ask them questions that made them angry.
And so he got so annoying, he got killed.
After the annoying conversation, he would basically say, hey, can I have food? Or, hey, can I see about your house? And this happened so many times that the people of Athens just decided, let's just kill him. And during the trial, he did not defend himself whatsoever. He was totally at peace. He just let it happen.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do have to go. But this was great. This was a great conversation.
This was Colby with the KBPS team.
And Josiah.
I hope everyone has a great day.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry, streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.